I want to just finish by saying how truly wonderful it is to be granting the freedom of Stafford Borough to you. Amongst other things, it means that you can drive sheep and cattle through the main streets in Stafford, so you better get rounding them up. But to be in such distinguished company, as I've said, I feel truly honoured, and it's a great honour for me to welcome you here this evening and to invite the Mayor to formally present you with this honour. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Time this happened, and also an appropriate time for the 100th anniversary. So, congratulations to the Royal British Legion, and thanks for all the work that they do.
I call upon the Reverend John Elliott, chaplain to the Stafford Branch, to respond on behalf of the branch.
Can I join your side as well? Thank you.
You didn't do that to Mars.
Another one that crossed the floor. I didn't do many things in the past, but there we are. Mr. Mayor, members of the Council, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, it's my privilege to respond on behalf of the Royal British Legion. Sadly, our President, Lieutenant Colonel Chadwell, can't be with us this evening. As you have said, Leader of the Council, the British Legion, as it was known, came into being in April 1921. Several charities that had been created during the First World War and immediately after the First World War to offer financial support, assistance, emotional support as well, and comradeship to those who served in the First World War and the families of those who gave their lives in the First World War, came together in London. And at the base of the Cenotaph in April 1921, they signed the declaration creating this one national charity. Eventually, of course, it became the Royal British Legion, but in July 1921, Stafford, a branch of the Royal British Legion, became an entity in its own right. And so for the past 100 years, the members of the Royal British Legion here in Stafford have provided that financial and emotional support to serving and ex-service members of the armed forces and their families. In granting the branch the freedom of this borough, may I suggest you are recognising the work undertaken by former members, current members, and indeed future members, because the need for the support that the Royal British Legion gives to the armed forces community. Bear in mind, we estimate that there are 4 million members of the people in the United Kingdom who are former members of the armed forces, some of you in this room tonight indeed. You can come to us for support if you need it. So the need does not diminish, it grows. And indeed the support that the British Legion gives is increasingly more complex than it has ever been. And so we accept this honour in recognition of the work done by our former members, our members, and the future members of the Royal British Legion. It is a great honour you have bestowed on us, and we will accept that insignia of the freedom of this borough with great pride. Thank you very much, members of the Council.
Scholar. I think we're all agreeing that was a very pleasant thing for this group to do. I don't have any appreciation. I have one more announcement now. The City Council service will be held on Sunday the 17th of December at the Collegiate Church of St Mary at 6:30 p.m. for those members who would like to attend. 19th of December.
19th.
We haven't got a public question time. We have one from Susan Cruikshank. Would you like to give a question, please?
Would the Borough Council please reinstate the funding?
sorry, Mr. Mayor, I will reply when I've really listened to that question. I will reply by email.
Thank you, Councillor Tribbage. We now have a question from Richard Jones.
Hi, everyone. I'm representing the Ladies Academy as a school governor. I'm also representing the local football team, St Old Ladies. With the uncertain future of Wellington Park, Yarmouth, St Old Ladies Football Club returns to its spiritual home at the Ladies Academy, investing a significant amount of time and money to create a thriving community club with over 25 teams playing at the site, meaning that over 95% of all community football-related activity now takes place at the school. The current public astroturf pitch is not in good condition and will last maybe for a couple of years. The pitch is poor quality, meaning that it is quite likely not licensed for matches by the FA, and when it becomes unfit for practice, hundreds of players will have nowhere to play midweek. Both the Football Foundation, the Stafford Plan and Borough Council's own pitch strategy have identified the need for a new 3G AstroTurf pitch in Stone Area. As a club, we want to offer various local leagues the option to use the facility as a central venue for both junior and veterans football, as well as bringing our own first team, who have had to play outside of Stone for over 20 years, back to the town facility. Having seen and heard about the extremely positive community-wide project, which has had very good press coverage, why is Borough Council not actively supporting our thriving club to develop a football club at a Ladies Academy, Stoke Town and the surrounding area by investing in a new 3G AstroTurf pitch at the Ladies?
Councillor Trowbridge, let's respond.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for your question, Mr. Jones, and thank you for all that you do to encourage boys and girls and adults to get involved in football in Stone. It's really good to hear about the success of the club. Officers and council, as you've heard, will be meeting with the academy to see what can be achieved jointly for the benefit of the community. The council also wants to continue working with local organisations to improve the leisure offer in the town, and would be happy to work with Stone Old Ladies Football Club to support our commitment to this. Thank you.
Mr. Jones, do you require any clarification on that? Would you like to put your second question, please?
Okay, so on behalf of the junior section and our football club, Stone Old Ladies Football Club are hundreds of juniors based at Lane Sports Centre, which is hugely important to the social, mental and physical well-being of hundreds of junior players, particularly since emerging from lockdown. If the AstroTurf pitch is not in place, we will not be able to train in the winter as we will not have a flooded pitch. Given the impact on so many young people's well-being, how can the council justify removing funding for the new pitch?
Thank you, Mayor, for your second question. I must agree, all sports is hugely important to people's physical and mental health and well-being. The council wants to continue working with all local organisations to improve the leisure offer in the town, and will be happy to work with the academy, Stone Old Ladies Football Club, the Football Foundation and Staffordshire FA to provide excellent assistance for the community. Thank you.
Mr. Jones, do you require any further clarification on that?
No.
We move on then to Andy Oscar.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, the council members. If I may paraphrase my question, it concerns the enlarged facilities of the Gateway of Western Park and their position. Makes a status strip. Apparently, there's been an objection from Sport England as to their location. The simple reason would be infringing on the playing fields, there's a requirement for sporting protection policy that normally is required to sort of mitigate. What sort of mitigation would the council be looking for? Thank you.
planning application. I'm not a planner, but the planners will take everything and look at the whole picture, not just one part of it. It is the whole picture they look at, and no one will get 100% out.
Thank you. That's we have nothing on the council session, so we now move on to item 7 on the agenda, a notice of motion. Councillor Godfrey, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The motion is pretty self-explanatory as set out. I'd just like to say a few words alongside what's here, the reasons for bringing this motion to council. First of all, it's not very often that Stafford House's policies are welcomed, in fact praised, by national government. And it was significant, I think, that we actually got a letter from the minister back in September saying that he fully supported and liked our policy on the banning of live animals being used as prizes on Stafford Council land. So first of all, it was to highlight that, and secondly, to congratulate the mover of the first motion, which I believe was the welfare of goldfish and banning them from being used as prizes on Stafford Council land. And I say I think the council should thank Councillor Ralph Cook, who brought that to the council's attention. And I have to say, everybody else pat themselves on the back, because the whole council went for this and supported it, and it became council policy. Of course, it wasn't quite the whole council. One or two members opposite decided they didn't want to support it, and I have to say I'd be most interested to know why they didn't support it, because obviously the government, of which is the same persuasion as the party opposite, do support it. So it'd be quite interesting, Mr. Mayor, as one's accepting this motion and thanking Councillor Cook and thanking the members of the council who voted for this, have maybe having a little bit of an explanation as to why some people didn't vote for it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Is this motion seconded?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, Mr.
Mayor,
I seconded it.
Does anyone wish to speak on this? Councillor Price.
Yeah, thank you. We have quite a long debate on this particular subject. At a previous council meeting, I'm sure members will probably remember. So I'll just make it very brief. I've checked with officers. I can confirm that the giving of pets for prizes has not occurred in the past and will not occur in the future on borough-owned land. Furthermore, there is already legislation in place that deals with these issues, so I'm not quite sure why this is here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Let me start by mentioning an event that you'll be at on Thursday, which is the Community Awards. And the Borough Council's Community Awards are recognising those people with selfless giving, those unsung heroes that we have the opportunity to thank and to celebrate the work that they do, often people who go unnoticed and unrecognised and unpraised, but they are high in our esteem, much like the British Legion today has been recognised. Obviously, all councillors are welcome. Now, in relation to this item, this motion that is about praising councillors, congratulating each other, we should all give ourselves a pat on the back. I think there is far too much backslapping and not enough actual demonstration of any harm, because in 10 years, no pets on council land have been given away. What's furthermore is the case is that when I asked the question of officers whether anyone else had bothered to do their research to see how big a problem this really actually was, the answer was two councillors. Maybe the two councillors who have spoken on the subject. What concerns me by this, and I have to say that I'm an animal lover, I've had a plethora of animals and had the pleasure of owning and looking after many animals, and I'm certainly not an advocate of any animal cruelty. And I also welcome the government's animal welfare legislation that is already in place. So this to me is about what this says to our residents. We are here elected to represent those in our community and what they think of us and what they think is our important priorities. And what concerns me with coming back to the same motion several times and congratulating each other on how good a job it really is when it's actually not serving the purpose that was there is that actually we forget. We forget about the council sustainability. You know, that is a colossal issue that we have to grapple with over the years to come. We've just come through 2 years of COVID and we're certainly no way near through coming through COVID. We have an unemployment problem that we need to address with young people. While Stafford has a 3% unemployment rate, there is a significant...
Mr. Mayor, what's this got to do with the motion?
My point is...
I mean, you're waffling.
My point very simply is I don't like seeing that the only agenda item that comes up as by a motion in front of this council relates to something that doesn't happen. We have so many more important things that we really need to address, and I would really welcome, instead of backslapping and congratulation, that instead that we actually address some of the key issues that face our residents.
Councillor Kemp.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I didn't intend to speak on this. I thought, in actual fact, the opposition, I noticed the leader of the council has sat there quietly. He's not going to take part in it. But let's go back to that, the third word. The third line from the bottom. Sadly, the vote to adopt the policy was not supported by all members of the Conservative group. That is what's being said. It's drawn it to your attention. Draw it to your attention that not everybody thought it was a good idea. I mean, I have seen this gift of fish being handed to young children, and the thing was dead before they got home.
The point is,
I'm talking, you keep quiet, and you're ready to learn that.
Mr. Mayor, I think you're the chair, aren't you?
I am indeed. You let the council get finished, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I say again, you waffled, and I have to say, the leader of the council is smiling. He's let you two take the mic.
Does anyone else wish to speak?
You bet.
Required an input. A
As I think I said at that meeting, legislation already existed to deal with cruelty to animals, and indeed the reply from the minister raised that very point in his letter. And so the purpose of my standing up this evening is to support what Councillors Burt and Price have said. And that is, not only was it inappropriate to raise this as a motion in the first instance, but to bring it back simply to try and highlight an issue that is not an issue and has never occurred by query with officers and by memory of every person in this room on borough land is the point that we are trying to make. We have infinitely more serious and pressing matters to deal with than to deal with matters by way of a council motion for something that has never happened as far as we are aware. That's the purpose of the representations to be made. Not waffle, but simply making that point. Thank you.
Councillor Godfrey, you should come back.
It's Councillor Lockton, so he's all right to the floor.
Councillor Godfrey, you spoke to me about the last word, isn't it? You should come back, Councillor Lockton.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think, first of all, I need to point out to people that this motion has not come before Council before. Indeed, standing orders have not allowed to bring a motion to Council twice in such a short time. And reference has been made to the fact that the motion has come before. It hasn't come before. To say that this has not been an issue for councillors, I really have to contradict that. Because the fact that it was brought to council was because the issue was raised with Councillor Cook. You've already said what your responsibilities are, and that is to represent the people that we represent. And I might add here, we don't only represent the people in our own ward, we represent the people throughout Staffordshire. So it is right and proper that we should in fact bring the first motion to council, and it is right and proper that we bring this one to council again. Because I would like to point out to the cabinet members who felt, excuse me, are you having another meeting? We have one until the time, thank you. But I would like to draw attention to
Mr. Mayor, I'm entitled to listen to my colleague.
What is the point of the Constitution to say which part of the Constitution he is referring to in his point of order?
My point of order is that I have been criticised.
Which part of the Constitution is he referring to, Mr. Baird?
As long as you don't disrupt the meeting while you're whispering to your colleague, that's fine.
Thank you, Mr. Baird.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As I have said before, I have still been interrupted, and it appears we are now trying to go as we go through that. We are not slapping ourselves in the back. What we are actually doing is drawing attention to the fact that the government minister has, in actual fact, congratulated staff of our council and therefore the members on raising such an important issue. And I think that rather than the leader of the council sitting smirking, I would call smiling, I would call smirking, there is a difference. And he and his cabinet being rude enough to actually whisper to one another when a member of council is actually standing speaking is a downright disgrace. And it's a bit of disgrace that anything you might choose to think is a disgrace to come before the council. Mr. Mayor, I do wish that we could learn some manners and realise that we do not necessarily or the mayor of the
council.
Right, I will just reiterate that what we are doing is reminding and drawing attention to the fact that one of the government ministers has, in fact, congratulated the members of staff of Council by raising an important issue such as animal welfare to the general public's attention. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Godfrey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think I was surprised as probably Councillor Cook was on the first time this came before Council, the first motion. Something that you think is uncontroversial, something that you think the public would be grateful would want their council to talk about animal welfare. And what do we get? This well-meant motion just highlighted the fact that Stafford Borough Council have been congratulated by central government on their position on animal welfare. And what do we get? We get Councillor Pert deflecting it, talking talking about a different subject, completely going away from the issues that is put in this motion. I have to say I'm shocked. Again, for the second time, I'm shocked. This is totally uncontroversial. Goodness sake, what would it be like if we had something controversial to discuss? This, Mr. Mayor, is a well-meant motion. It's highlighting to the world at large that Stafford Borough Council is doing something right. And I think the people of our borough will be grateful that their council is looking after the interests of animals and looking after animal welfare in a way that hopefully will protect animals in the future. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Well, if no one else wishes to speak, we'll go to a vote. All those in favour of the motion? Those against? The motion is lost. We now move on to our tonight on your agenda. Fees and charges. Councillor Farrington, do you want to present this?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll try and get it in manually. As Councillor Smith is not here, my best wishes to him in relation to his health. I am tasked with presenting what would normally be his portfolio presentation. The purpose of the report is to propose to the Council fees and charges for 2022 and to have those recommended for approval. As we know, those fees and charges which either comprise a new charge that is being introduced or involve an increase above the annual level of inflation are those charges which are contained within this report. I see from the report track that this item has already been to four different places before today, Cabinet and the three scrutiny committees, and so I'm pleased that all of the members of the Council have had an excellent opportunity on at least one, if not more, than one occasion to scrutinise and consider these proposals. The main thrust, of course, is that at this moment in time, at the time that the report was prepared, the annual inflation level was at or around 3%. It does, of course, have to be of some concern that the current proposed or current rate of inflation is around about 4.2%, and so that is something that is a matter of concern, as I said, moving forward. I think it's also important to know that there are a number of areas in which charges have not been increased at all, and there are examples given in the report, such as garden waste, land charges, parking fees, market rents, and so on. For a number of different reasons, of course, and indeed some of those items are fixed until 2023. If we take parking, for example, the report notes in various places where the charges were last reviewed, but I think perhaps parking is something again to mention, because prior to the last review, some of the parking charges have not been increased for a number of years, and indeed during those periods there have been two changes in the rates of VAT, and the council on both of those occasions resolved not to pass on the VAT increase to customers. It's also important to note that in some areas the council does not have any control over the imposition of fees and charges. For example, rates being set by central government or other national bodies, and so we are hidebound by those principles. What I would ask the council therefore to do this evening is to note proposals. I'm sure there will be some representations, and I'd like to invite each of my cabinet members in respect of their various portfolios to respond should matters be raised. But in principle, as I said, I want to propose that the fees and charges for 2022 be recommended for approval. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Does anyone second the accounts for that? Council approved.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I second the proposal and reserve the right to speak.
Does anyone wish to speak on this approval?
The fees and charges, this fees and charges review came to the scrutiny committee, and there are dozens of new charges within this paper, but I don't think, and I mentioned that scrutiny committee, that it, they've been explained properly. We did have a conversation there about that. And I'm concerned that this paper is in the public domain and it could cause most of the public to have some anxiety. Thank you.
Councillor Cook.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I refer actually to the first page of the landscape pages for fees and charges. I don't have a page number here, I'm afraid. It's not produced with a page. Is it page 10? But it's to do with license fees and specifically the smoke and carbon monoxide alarm, England regulations, 2015 penalty charge. Mr. Mayor, you've had a bit of knockabout this evening. What I'm now going to talk about is somewhat darker, and it's to do with carbon monoxide and carbon monoxide alarms. In 1969, I was a student in my early 20s.
Mr. Mayor, does this have a relevance to the fees?
I was just going to ask that. Is it relevant to the fees?
You will see how relevant this is, Mr. Mayor. If I could just crave the indulgence of some councillors. And I was married to another student who was a couple of years younger, my first wife. We had a flat in London. One night, we went to sleep as usual, and when I woke, feeling very groggy and very disoriented, later on that night, I'm not even sure what time it was, I found my wife on the floor. I summoned help as best I could. Mr. Mayor, my first wife died, and I very nearly died, because the landlord, and this is where it becomes relevant, the landlord had neglected to have the gas water heater in the bedroom inspected. So as a result of that sin of omission, one person died and one person nearly died. Mr. Mayor, I hope members will understand, therefore, why I am somewhat hawkish about those landlords and other owners of businesses who may be somewhat cavalier about health and safety aspects of things like carbon monoxide alarms and indeed the inspection of gas appliances. Mr. Mayor, I am fortunate, I suppose, to have lived, but I can bear witness as a live person, and my wife can as a dead person, to what happens when health and safety issues of this sort are not taken anywhere near seriously enough. Over 50 years later, I still have flashbacks to that incident. And I feel almost as a duty to my first wife to actually speak up about this matter. Because my worry is that what we're doing here is possibly diluting those penalties, and therefore diluting also the deterrent effects of those penalties. Frankly, if it were up to me, I would increase them, but I'm biased, I suppose. What I would say is, I hope, rather than dealing with things now, whether one could get an assurance that the officers will take this back, have a look at it again. Because my worry is, for example, that we had very specific sums of money which were going to be the penalties. The first offence, £1,000, and for each subsequent offence, and just imagine a subsequent offence. You don't just do it once, you do it more often. A subsequent offence, £5,000. Well, those are going to be deleted. And instead, the maximum penalty will be £5,000. But there's no mention of a minimum penalty. It could be somewhere between two amounts. And I would hope that, you know, cognition would be given there, that there'd be some review of these figures to make it, to give it a higher penalty, to increase the likelihood of deterring would-be offenders, and particularly subsequent offenders. I understand that... Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I understand that there may be mitigating circumstances in some cases, and so you therefore want to have some flexibility. Likewise, there may be aggravating circumstances in some other cases, and one again wants that flexibility. But I would ask the officers, I would ask the members to allow further consideration to be given to that so that those penalties can be sharper and much more of a deterrent value. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cook. Councillor Pearce, do you wish to speak?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In the landscape changes, the one relating to charges for lowering trees and the other existing trees. And the first point I want to make is that the increases here are substantial, 11% in one case and just under 30% in the other. And when it comes to something that will have to be done for all of us at some point, I suggest that having a woodland burial is perhaps the most environmentally positive way this is to be approached. Not only is somebody providing a tree which will absorb carbon, but also will increase biodiversity. But we're creating a financial disincentive to do this.
subject, but something that I, until I was just reading this, I didn't catch on to the particular point I'm going to make. I ask you to look at page 12, which is interment fees for a grave with exclusive burial rights. That's a private grave for the child between 24 and 9 years. You've got there £515 for a 5-foot grave, and down below it's £550 for a 7-foot. Now, a lot of people just realise that's the cost of digging it the hole. But if you turn over the page, you've got the grave with no exclusive burial rights. These are common graves. These can be opened up and someone else can be put into it, because you don't have a purchase right. But look at the costing of that. For the first one, the child, 24 to 9 years, it's 890. Is this correct? Because in actual fact, I would assume, if you're buying an exclusive grave, it would cost more, because you've got the exclusive rights to it. I think there's been a mistake there. The officer is shaking his head, so obviously I don't understand the logic of it.
Encourage people into the town centre and to provide services there. But this information given through to us about how we should encourage new life into the centre of our towns. To introduce a charge like this for use of this area of the Market Square, I would say that this is more of a deterrent than actually an encouragement. Now, for people to say that this has been discussed elsewhere, I haven't been elsewhere where this has been discussed. And in fact, the final column in all these pages does say rationale for increases or decreases. There's absolutely nothing in that column to actually attempt to justify why we are putting a charge for the hire of this area in Market Square. All I can see is it is a deterrent to actually encourage the full use of our Market Square and encourage visitors and the residents of Stafford to come into our Market Square and in fact enjoy it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
There are three people wishing to speak. Councillor Winnington, please.
Thank you, Chair. Well, yes, Mr. Mayor, who's chairing. I'm surprised that members of the opposition in particular are, in a way, exercising scrutiny. They themselves are chairing this grouping, along with Gilbert, who's chair of the communities grouping, and chaired very well, I must say, by the two committees that the two scrutiny that I go to. But of those two scrutiny meetings, all of these issues that have been brought up were brought up, and this is why we have scrutiny, so that we can talk through the issues, and any queries be answered by the officers. Now, in terms of the burial fees and the things like which Councillor Price has already pointed out, were put down or actually paid by the government, they aren't expected to pay parents or family members are expected to pay back. That was explained at the economic screening meeting, and Councillor Price has just said that we'll be aware of them tomorrow to explain it further if they don't want to. And then, in terms of the Market Square, again, the community meeting, which Guildford chaired, we discussed that issue in great detail. It just seems strange to me that we discuss these issues at screening meetings and then come here with sort of we've never heard anything about this, because it was discussed and we were all there. All the members of both meetings were there. This was discussed, and that's why we have screenings to discuss these things. Thank you, Chair. Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Price, you need to come back.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Should anybody find themselves in a really unfortunate position where they lose a loved one, a particular child, they won't be looking up our fees and charges online. They will be in contact with their local funeral director, who will make them fully aware of any potential costs. And as I said previously, there will not be any. They will have that guidance, and that is therefore why the notes are not within here. As I said, we are a caring authority. We do have morals, and particularly around this, I'm really pleased to say that we do not charge anybody who has lost a child. And, as I said, I'll make sure the details on those are sent out. But as Councillor Winnington said, we had a really good go at scrutiny, and I have to say we had some excellent questions asked, not only by this side, but this side as well. And I thought that Councillor Hood chaired an extremely good scrutiny meeting with some very, very good questions.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to deal with the Market Square issue, which I gathered that I wasn't at community scrutiny, so I don't know exactly what was said. But I think all members are aware that we have a very substantial sum of money from the government to regenerate the whole of the North End of Stafford. And one of the first changes that members will be seeing, and that the community will see, is the work that's done on the Market Square, which is going to include much better services, electricity, see water supply and so on. So that we have much bigger and more complex events there. And part of all of the work that's being done on reviewing the area higher is part of that exercise. The reconfiguration of the charges reflects the changes that have been made to the sites and to the way that the operators will be able to take advantage of what's going on in the centre of the town. So I think you'll find it's a positive, not a negative. Thank you.
Councillor Hodge. I just wanted to come back because we're not questioning the morals or the integrity of the borough council. What we're saying is that this is confusing. We did bring it up at scrutiny. The officer said that he was going to add a note to this, yes, to say exactly who was going to pay those fees and charges. And that obviously hasn't happened yet, and I'm quite concerned about that. Okay?
And Councillor Godfrey, you indicated.
I think it is. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Two things. Totally agree with what Councillor Hobbs has just said. As I said earlier, there should have been a note on here to the effect that people aren't going to be charged, and we'll leave it at that to be debated enough. But the one thing that keeps cropping up time and time again in this chamber, and it's always from that side of the chamber, is the fact that things have been to scrutiny, and they've been talked about in scrutiny, and now, oh, good Lord, we're talking about them again. Why not? This is a committee of the council. And if we want to bring something to this council, we will. And we will not be put off by an administration that, quite frankly, doesn't seem to want to be scrutinised. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If I could address the issues that Councillor Cook raised. I really welcome what you said and your sharing of that clearly horrific time in your life, and I really value sharing that with us, and I'm sure that is not without its recollections and pain, so thank you for that. I also support everything that you said, that we need within staff and borough responsible landlords, and in the main that is exactly what we have. And the way that we work within Stafford is to ensure that our first point is to work with landlords, because we need landlords to provide housing. Otherwise, there will be a potentially a housing shortage. But where landlords don't want to work with us, it is absolutely right and proper that we use every legislative tool at our disposal to make sure our residents are safe. And we do have a good safety record in this borough, which I thank the officers for, I thank landlords for, and I want to ensure that that is this case going forwards. We are not looking to dilute the penalties or the powers. What we're trying to do, and this went through the council's cabinet maybe in the summer, in August, is to bring all of our charges and penalties in line with government legislation. And because there are new things coming along post-Grenfell, and quite rightly so, because the moment anyone considers the impact from Grenfell, then that can never be something that happens again. Maybe I've mixed my metaphors, but you know what I mean. And so as a result, what we've done is created a framework whereby if there are multiple charges, multiple penalties, we can go against a landlord on that basis. We can levy the charges ourselves as a borough council, rather than necessarily having to rely on a third party like a court who interprets all sorts of things. And the aim is to make sure that we are softly, unless we are very clear that a landlord needs a very severe message. And that is why we've done this. As I say, we have the vast majority of landlords are caring professionals and we work with them, and there is a landlords forum tomorrow night just to demonstrate us engaging with landlords to talk about key things, and tomorrow we're talking about electrical safety, which is just as much an issue as anything which relates to safety. However, I understand the points that were being made. I know that I can give you the assurance that you were seeking, but if the member, through you, Chair, would like to have a meeting with myself and the office, relevant officers, I would be more than happy to go through that in detail, but I can assure this council that those penalties and those charges reflect what was agreed through Cabinet and reflect a regime that ensures our residents are safe.
Councillor Cross, you should come back.
Yes, just on a quick point about the additional information on the fees and charges. We did discuss it at scrutiny and did say that would go on. Unfortunately, when I checked, the full council papers had already been sent out, and that's the only reason why they weren't on there. So I do agree with you, a bit more clarification on there is certainly important. When these come around again, I'll make sure that there is some basic description on there that will help members understand what the charges are for. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On a good note, can I just remind members that the charges, parking charges, for the last two Saturdays of December leading up to Christmas will not apply. And there will be notices on all meters. And do tell people to come shopping on Saturday, the 11th and the 18th of December. And while they're there, they can perhaps go and have a go at skating.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Does anyone else wish to speak? In that case, we'll take a vote. Councillor Carrington, do you wish to reply?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will be very brief.
And it is only really just to address one issue. I just want to echo Councillor Burke's words, personally directed to Councillor Cook, for the sorrow that he has suffered. Clearly that's a hugely impactful event on your life, and I just want to add my own thoughts to you and support what Councillor Hurd has said in relation to this particular aspect. I think perhaps it's also important to note in relation to that item that it's only one of a number of ways in which vandals can be scrutinised and prosecuted and so on. This particular issue just relates to the failure to comply with an agreement notice. There are, of course, other bodies who will pursue their own course should they deem it appropriate to do so. But I'm with you, Councillor Cook. It's also important to acknowledge support. In relation to the other matters that have been raised this evening, Mr. Mayor, I hope that it's accepted that the cabinet members for each portfolio have responded as appropriate. So I really just want to repeat the proposal, which I know has been seconded, and to call for a vote, please. Can we take a vote in that case? All those in favour,
operators' licences and personal licences. Any operator operator wishing to provide gambling on certain premises must have applied for the requisite operator's licence and personal licence from the Gambling Commission before they approach the council for a premises licence. In this way, the Gambling Commission can ensure applicants have the correct credentials to operate gambling premises. This council is responsible for licensing premises where gambling activities are to take place. And the council's role is to ensure premises are suitable for providing gambling in accordance with the three license objectives and any codes of practice issued by the Gambling Commission. And those three licensing objectives are preventing gambling from being a source of crime or disorder, or being associated with crime or disorder, or being used to support crime. Ensuring that gambling is conducted in a fair and open way, and for protecting children and other vulnerable persons from being harmed or exploited by gambling. This council does not license large society lotteries or remote gambling through websites. And we went out on consultation widely on the statement of principles from the 13th of September to the 22nd of October of this year, and we had no formal responses. So my recommendations, please, Mr. Mayor, is that the council approves the revised statement of principles, which has been attached to the documents that we have. Agrees the statement of principles shall be published on the council's website on or before the 3rd of January 2022, and agrees that the statement of principles shall come into force on the 10th of January 2022. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Is this proposal seconded?
Mr. Mayor, I second it, reserve the right to speak.
Does anyone wish to speak? In that case, we'll move straight to a vote on accepting the statement of principles. All those in favour? Thank you. Does anyone wish to speak on it? Then we'll move to a vote. favour. That's unanimous. As we all know, I think referred from the scrutiny committee, I draw the meeting to a close.
The council, ladies and gentlemen, please be excited to wish the mayor of St. Borough as a telemixing to retire from the council chamber.